And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on today's experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, following his style. Oh, where do you hear the song for this? Following his style. Plus, we're going to look at Meshuggah News, the Satanic School Edition. Yep, I said that. Also, not a secret code. What, there's not a secret code? It's not a decoder ring? No. And today's Facebook post, there is a place.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oh no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation except for tacos, because I'm having those tonight. Hey, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Oh, Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon@kprz.com. Great way to do that. Don't forget our Facebook page, The David Spoon Experience. Don't forget about His Appointment, a book that is dedicated to those who have a pretty hard time with a pretty monumental experience in the Lord and trying to figure out why the Lord allowed it to happen, for everything from bad church experiences, which is really the key, the cornerstone of the book, to anything else that you've encountered that is beyond the comprehension, trying to figure out why did God let that happen? Challenging some of the notions the enemy brings around, like, well, he loves me less now that God has a chance to get to know me. It's like, no. In fact, I'll tell you something. I was talking with the most wonderful human being on the planet I know.
Your wife.
That's correct. Now, I know there's some people out there going, yeah, you're talking in a mirror. No, I was talking to my wife. You people about the mirror, you're talking about the second best. Anyway, I'm just kidding. So my wife and I were talking, about prayer, and we were just discussing, I'm not going to get into all the details, but, you know, we have spiritual conversations. I know it's amazing to think that, and because what I am here on the radio show is not that far off from what takes place at home, unfortunately for her. It's like, you know, to 18 hours of radio. So the idea there, though, is we were talking about, you know, maybe when we're praying, getting more clarification when we're praying to the Lord, and maybe being more specific about our requests. The conversation centered around her praying about something and then feeling like in her prayer she needed to be more definitive in that prayer time. But the reality then struck her. It's, she doesn't need to be more definitive for God's sake. God doesn't need clarity in what our prayers are. We need clarity in what we're praying. God doesn't need to go, well, you know, you were praying for a resolution to this situation about the car. God doesn't have to hear, well, no, specifically, Lord, I was talking about my carburetor. He doesn't need to know that level of detail. Not that he doesn't know, or it's just that that's not something he needs. It's something you and I need to have a specific approach in our faith so we can kind of target in. That's all I'm trying to say. So when you're praying, the Lord knows. If you don't say it perfect, the Lord knows. You don't have to pray a prayer perfectly. The Lord knows. But you got to pray, and you got to keep on praying. That's one of the things that we talked about, is Elijah, very powerful man of God who prayed that it wouldn't rain. You go into the book of James, you find out that by his own prayer, the prayer of a righteous man avails much, and he had the heavens shut up for 3 years. And then when the rain was going to come, he told Ahab, love this story, he told Ahab, hey, the rain is coming. He prophesied as a prophet. But right after he prophesied, he went to then pray that God would fulfill his prophecy. And he prayed, and the Bible says he prayed 7 times and sent his servant to look. And the 7th time, the servant said, I see the cloud, the size of a man's hand has arisen, has come about. And then Elijah knew, oh, here comes the rain. But he prophesied, he prayed 7 times. Then his servant saw a really small little cloud. And then it came to pass. It's a great lesson to understand that praying, constant praying, diligent praying, warfare praying, continual petitioning is a part of every believer's walk, even if you're a power prophet of God. So if you're praying about something you prayed once, congratulations. You got a bunch more to go. And you keep praying. And the slightest indicator is a great place to start dropping that mustard seed of faith, isn't it? The cloud, the size of a man's hand, and that turned into a ferocious storm. Yeah, I love it. All right, that's the fun part of our faith, getting in there with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord. All right, let's take this to this next level, because we have a DDD called Following His Style. And why I'm bringing this up is because I kind of want to mention something that Jesus did that caught me not off guard, but just spoke to me a little differently. Let's play the music, and then I'll explain it. Was that the whole thing? Tell me what's the word, a white up. The word up. Here we go. Following Estelle, Mark chapter 14, verse 22. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, spoke a blessing, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, take it, this is my body. Now, if you've been involved in communion at a church, you know, you've come across this passage before. If you've been involved in taking communion at the beginning of your faith, in the middle of your faith, if you're even towards the end of your faith, and you're at the 60, 70-year level of being a Christian, you know communion is a part of our engagement. It is, for in some theologies, it's more transformational than in others. In the evangelical faith, communion has much more to do with the connecting and the recognition of the sacrifice of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's a public acknowledgement of the faith that's working in our hearts. We don't believe that there's actual regenerations in the bread or in the well, let's say grape juice that people drink at church. But we believe it connects us to the actual body and actual blood of Jesus Christ by acknowledging that which Jesus did. What I want to say has nothing to do with that. What I want to say is what Jesus did. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, spoke a blessing, and broke it and gave it to them. That's what I wanted to talk about, that Jesus spoke a blessing. It's going to be hard for people to kind of disconnect from this because this is a reality. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of a tongue. In your mouth, you have the ability to speak life and death. If you speak to somebody, you know you can say things in such a way as to crush their spirit. Don't kid yourself. You say it to yourself all the time, and you can say it to other people. Let's understand what Jesus did illustrate when he was doing the breaking out and the communication of the communion. He spoke a blessing. Now, here's what I want to challenge you to do. This day, in the next 3 or 4 days, here's what I want you to do, something you haven't done yet. I want you to speak a blessing to somebody else, not to you. You probably pray enough for yourself to be blessed. Congratulations. Let's speak a blessing to somebody else. You're thinking, well, can you speak a blessing to a person? Are you allowed to do that? Excellent question. Let's look at the scripture. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for building up as the need may be, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outcry, slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God also in Christ forgave you. There are four elements that are stated here. One, let the words that you speak build up. That's what we mean by speak a blessing. When you say something to somebody, I want you to take the time. Don't do it flippantly. Do it for real. Speak a blessing to somebody's life. Todd will tell you there's times when I come in where you're not having a conversation about anything particular, and I tell him on purpose, Todd, you're doing an excellent job, because he is doing an excellent job, but hearing that strengthens his commitment to the job. It blesses him. Not stupid. And we do that with one another. I want you to do it with somebody you don't typically do it with. Take that step out. Just one person. Next 4 or 5 days, speak a blessing. The scripture says in 4:29 that we should speak in such a way that it may give grace to those who hear. Let's build somebody up with our words. You don't fakely build them up. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. Verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I believe that's amazing that that passage is right in between saying something good in verse 29 and 31 and 32, where 31 talks about speaking out of bitterness. When you're bitter, when you have wrath and anger and you slander, those are all verbals, and that's supposed to be put away from us. Build somebody up. Be less bitter in your speech. In between the two of those is don't make the Holy Spirit sad. Build somebody up, lift them up, don't grieve the Spirit, speak less with bitterness, speak more with grace, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God and Christ Jesus forgave you. In other words, build them up with your words. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Be less bitter in what you say. Be more graceful in your speech. That's what it is to speak a blessing. And we can all do that. Pick somebody, bless them, build them up. Not falsely, genuinely. Take the time to encourage and to bring grace to their lives. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Every time you say you love me, it truly is another sky.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
It's really easy for a teenager's schedule to get way out of control.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. Today is Friday, March 24th.
I usually get up at like 7:30 when school starts, and then I have basketball practice, then I eat dinner. So it's like 7:30, I start my homework, and then guitar lessons every Monday night. And then I have church Wednesday night. I go to bed at like 11 o'clock.
It's really easy for teenagers to get too busy. I have an exercise that you can do to help your child realize that too much activity makes it impossible to really experience the benefits of his family. Start out by having your child hold a table knife. Place some kernels of corn on that blade and ask him to balance them. No problem, right? Now ask your child to keep the blade in place and begin writing a note to someone with the other hand. Now ask your child to begin tapping his foot. Then have him start to sing a song. You can begin to add other activities until your child can't handle them all at once. After you've both had a good laugh, talk about how the exercise relates to living a life that's too busy and unfocused. One final thought. Time devoted to schoolwork, lessons, and sports can overwhelm our young people. As parents, we are responsible to keep a watchful eye on their schedule and to help them maintain balance. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where we're going to disrupt our show once again because I don't care. It's kind of rude to say it that way. I probably shouldn't say it that way, but I'm going to say it that way. I was going to do the Michigan News, and then I'm looking at it, and it's Michigan News, the Satanic School Edition, and I just don't want to do it. And the reason that I don't want to do it is my spirit is up, and I don't necessarily feel like bringing my spirit down by diving into that, which is not good. Now, that doesn't mean I'm always trying to stay positive. I think people know that we do plenty of, you know, harder stories on a regular basis, but not right now. It's just not right now. I mean, don't you guys, wouldn't you agree that there's so much rubbish? This is so much garbage. Let's take a break. All right. We are going to change that. I'll give Tugboat Todd a chance to find music after I start this because he has no idea what I'm going to talk about. And it's a DDD that I've never done before, and it's called Breaking Waves. Breaking Waves. So he can go find like a Beach Boys, you know, California Surfing kind of thing or something along those lines. Let me tell you this passage that I came across in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 11. Now, I'm not saying that I've never read the verse, and most of you have read the Bible through more than once, or you've read it through once, so you've read all the verses. But sometimes you'll read a verse, and you'll come across it, and you'll think, I don't know if I saw it that way. And I do believe that that's a normal process of human beings who, you know, start off in one place. When I was a Christian, I was 17. I was 16 going on 17 kind of thing. And I became a Christian. And in that process, I was a young man. I think most people would recognize if you're 16 years old and you become a Christian, you're young, right? What happens then is that you'll go through life and you'll notice that when you're 16, 17, you know, I know that's a song, everybody relax, but you know, you're 16 going on 17. All right, so, but then when you're like 25, 26, when you're in your 50s, you look back and go, ha, 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 how young, ha, ha, ha. But when you're 25 and you look back at being 15, that's a pretty big gap. Right? I mean, that's almost half your life. And at 25, you're just coming into, you're just passing the phase where you think you're invulnerable until you're about your mid-20s. And maybe you have a pretty good significant bone break. Then you realize, uh-oh, I'm not made of titanium. Uh-oh. And then your mind kind of shifts as you get older. And then you take that from your 25 to your 35. Still, people in their 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s are thinking, 35? Come on. That's like a pup. Like, my son's not even 35. It's like, oh, that's like a kid. But at this point, you're married, you have kids. Now you have a completely different perspective. And I think that's a natural process. You get to 45, 55. It is true in your 50s. 40s, God does more to you than through you. In your 50s, you hear more things in your body than you wanted to, and you are afraid. In your 60s, you're kind of getting used to it. In your 70s, you just blame other people. It's like, whatever that noise was that over there. You become kind of savvy in the process. In your 80s, you could care less. You're just like, who cares? In your 90s, you're just like going, well, rapture one way or another. It's kind of a different mindset altogether. But I think that impacts how you look at Scripture and how you deal with Scripture. And I think that's a genuine element to say that as you come to the Word of God at different phases and different stages and different ages. Ooh, phases, stages, and ages. Add that. Phases, stages, and ages. As you come to the Word of God there, you will see things differently. I don't think there's anything weird. Now, I do not believe that's what the Scripture means when it says the Word of God is living or speaks fresh to a generation. I believe that one thing has nothing to do with the other. I think you will approach Scripture and see it differently in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. But that has nothing to do with the fact that the Word of God is alive, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and speaks fresh to generations, as the psalm indicates that the Word of God has a renewal element in it, especially in Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 and verse 9. So my point in that is for you to understand that there is a difference in approach and in application that is natural or normal as human beings have been created. And then there's the divine element where the breath of God went into the Word of God and it speaks to you. Perhaps it's a dynamic application, a personal dynamic application, what we call dynamic personal. It's the DAP, dynamic application from a personalized point of view, or if it's just situational, or if the Lord is speaking to you as a family or as a church and you see things a little bit differently as they come through in Scripture. Nothing wrong with that. That's all great. It's fantastic. So this particular passage, I think, is one more that I caught being older, not revelatory, just I didn't catch it because I think I see more in my life in my 50s that there I've seen more distress in almost 40 years of being a Christian than I've seen it, than I thought I would see. And so a passage like this helps me. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 11. I want you to listen to this. It's one of those kind of little small ones. He will pass through the sea of distress and strike the waves of the sea. I want you to listen to that. He will pass through the sea of distress and strike the waves of the sea. This passage in Zechariah is talking about God going through the sea of distress on our behalf. You see, the sea of distress is our sea, not God's. It's our sea of distress. And the Lord goes into the water on the distress and breaks the waves, because those waves come at you and I over and over and over again. Have you ever gone to the beach? Have you ever gone and played in the waves? You want to know something about the waves that's amazing? They never stop. It's like, ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-ba-boom. You don't get to get up and go, that's enough, waves. Everybody stop. No. It doesn't work that way. In fact, the only way to stop the waves is to get out of the water, because they don't stop. And so in the waters of distress that we go through, God goes through that water and breaks the power of the waves that are coming against us. He strikes the waves. The distress comes on us like a wave. But watch this. But God breaks the power of the curl. You know what I'm talking about? God breaks the power of the curl. That's when the wave comes up, right? And it makes a little C, like a little C letter. And then as it comes down, bam, right? Into the curl moment. And that's, have you ever been flushed out by that? I've been bodyboarding before and I thought I did rather fine. And then I stood up, didn't really anticipate that the wave behind was going to be a lot bigger. And it kind of pushed me down into the ground. And the bodyboard thing, everything went everywhere. I went everywhere. I had my little surf bodyboard thingy went everywhere. And I didn't see it. Well, that was the power of the curl. It just took me down. It's like, wow. Well, in distress, you can feel like it's coming wave after wave after wave. But you know what's cool about the Lord? He strikes the waves. So imagine you are in the water and the wave is going to come and curl over you. And this big being comes and stands in front of you. So the wave hits him and goes around the two sides of you, or the two sides of him, but the wave never hits you. That's what the Lord's doing. That's what he's doing when he's striking the wave. He's stopping it from smacking you. And you know how it seems like, have you ever felt like this? Like things pile on and it's wave after wave and distress after distress. Well, the Bible says he will pass through the sea of distress and strike the waves of the sea. Those are your curls that are coming against you. And he'll stop that sea of distress from smacking you once and once and once and time again. In other words, when you're going through it, the Lord is able to give us the break. And we need the break in the curl of the wave. And we need that relief. And the Lord promises that relief. That's what's great about God. He knows. He knows you're getting smacked. He knows it's going one after the other. He knows what you're going through. I'm telling you right now, he knows your distress, and he can break the waves. Ask the Lord to come in a way where you're surrendered, and he's breaking the power of the waves that are crashing in upon you. He is not only able to, he'd love to. Let the Lord break the waves of distress in your life. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back with our DDD, Not a Secret Code.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
What's really important to you? If you're willing to answer some key questions, there's a quick way to find out. This is Jim Garlow. Here are the questions for you to answer for yourself. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your energy? What's the focus of your finances, your giving? How do you feel about your possessions? What about the use of your gifts and talents? What about your actions, your thought life, even the words that you say? Take a look at your answers. Where's your focus? It'll tell you a lot about your priorities, about what you regard as truly important. Jesus said, where your heart is, your treasure will be as well. It really doesn't matter what we say our priorities are. It's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the real tale is told. The last question, who is important in your life? Do the words, follow me, ring a bell? This is Jim Garlow. We'll do our part, keeping you informed at jimgarlow.com.
Seeking the face of God can strengthen our faith.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Amy Peterson. Amy writes, "My 4-year-old son is full of questions and chatters constantly. I love talking with him, but he's developed an unfortunate habit of talking to me even when his back is turned. I often find myself saying, 'I can't hear you. Please look at me when you're talking.'" Amy continues, "Sometimes I think God wants to say the same thing to us, not because he can't hear us, but because we can tend to talk to him without really looking at him. We pray, but we remain caught up in our own questions and focused on ourselves, forgetting the character of the one we're praying to. Like my son, we ask questions without paying attention to the person we're talking to. Many of our concerns are best addressed by reminding ourselves of who God is and what he has done. By simply refocusing, we can find comfort in what we know of his character, that he is loving, forgiving, sovereign, graceful. The psalmist believed we ought to seek God's face continually. When David appointed leaders for worship and prayer, he encouraged the people to praise God's character and tell stories of his past faithfulness. When we turn our eyes toward the beautiful face of God, we can find strength and comfort that sustain us even in the midst of unanswered questions. Now you can get Our Daily Bread delivered fresh to your inbox. Sign up for the email devotional when you visit odb.org. That's odb.org. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Bread. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Talk about Todd and I have been talking about the fish experience. He had a fish experience where he stepped on a stingray. Well, you accidentally kind of got dropped on a stingray by a wave, though, yeah. Right? The wave kind of picked you up, dropped down, then boom. So finish your story. I wanted to, because I have never been stung by anything in the waters. There's one, you know, and my biggest problem is that I grew up in Michigan. So then I went to Arizona, lived in Arizona for a while. I knew the Miami Ocean first, then somewhat of the California Ocean, not enormously, and then moved off to Acapulco. So I knew that part of the ocean, which was always pretty nice and warm. And then from Acapulco, Hawaii, and so now I like all the water that's really clean. It's like I can't help it. You can't blame me. It's how I was raised. So you have been, though, a California wave person your, like, whole life.
Yeah, my whole life, you know, growing up here in San Diego, going to Mission Beach. I lived in Mission Beach for a while. And, you know, so I'm 38 years old. And just up until 2 years ago, I had no problems in the ocean, nothing. I got hit by a stingray, or I got stung by a stingray right between the big toe and the second toe there.
How painful? Really, really, really painful?
At first, it was a little shocking, but the thing is, it takes a little bit a while for the venom to really get you.
What does it make you feel? Does it make you feel sick? I mean, what does it make you?
No, it's just a pain? Searing, burning pain.
Like a throb?
It was the worst pain I've ever felt.
Wow.
So I started crying on my way home because the lifeguard offered me a ride to the lifeguard station, and he's going to put my foot in hot water. And I said, no, you know, I can make it home. It's not that big a deal. So I live a mile from the beach. I started riding my bike back home, and about halfway there, I couldn't even use that foot. So I'm pedaling with one foot, crying as I finally get back home. And they tell you, put your foot in the hottest water that you can take, because with a stingray, their venom, it's actually it's protein-based. So you're actually cooking the venom out of your skin or your limb.
Wow, I had zero idea. How long does it take to do that?
You know, when I put my foot in the hot water, about 10 seconds later, felt fine.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not bad at all. Wow. You just need to get your foot into hot water as fast as you can.
Now, don't you find that we were talking about waves and the Lord breaking the waves and the distress? Don't you find that more fascinating than talking about Meshuggah News at that particular time?
Yes,
I gotta say,
I on a Friday, especially.
Okay. We have a DDD called Not a Secret Code. Do we have a sound for this? I don't even know. Do we ever get a sound for this? I can't remember. Do we have a not a secret code sound?
I do.
Okay. Does that mean that it's kind of goofy?
I lost it.
What did it do? It ran away? It ran away from home or the board. Okay. Well, it was bored, so it left. Is that the idea? All right. You let me know, and I'll start going down the road, and then you can just wave your you lose it. It's like stepping on a stingray. How do you miss that? Okay, it's called Not a Secret Code, again out of Zechariah. And as most of you know, I've been telling you I've been finishing the Holman Christian Standard Bible in my devotions. I am down to Malachi 2, 3, and 4, which I think I'll finish tomorrow. And then we'll be done. I'll be through with that Bible, and then I'm getting into another new translation. So I'm kind of excited to see where that one kind of leads us to. But Zechariah chapter 12, so there's 14 chapters in Zechariah. Here's chapter 12, verse 10. Oh, you found it? All right, well, then go ahead and play it, and then I'll do this. Okay.
Now it's time for any secret message for you members of the secret circle. Here is the message. 12, 11.
I am in my first secret meeting.
You know the title was not a secret code, right? As in like the opposite of that.
He's got a decoder ring.
Oh, okay. Well, use your decoder ring for this. Turn it to Zechariah 12:10. And here's what it says. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem. And they will look at me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly for him as one weeps for a firstborn. The book of Zechariah, like Daniel, much more, I think, though, like Isaiah, there are a number of messianic references in Zechariah, just a tremendous amount. This is, of course, one of them. For those that are not aware, when it says that they will look upon at me whom they have pierced, the piercing reference comes in two passages in the New Testament, John 19, 33 and 34, where it says, but when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. That's the piercing. That's the fulfillment in the piercing. Also, John 20, 24 through 28, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came in, stood among them, and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. These are the two references to the piercing that's referenced there in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. So as we said, and as pastors say, well, let's kind of dig into it then. What it says is, I will pour out a spirit of grace and I will pour out a spirit of prayer on the house of David. Spirit of grace. Well, what do we know about grace? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For grace you are saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. It is through faith and grace that we are saved. It is not you doing fantastic works and earning your way into heaven. You can't earn heaven. You'll never get to heaven and say, my works are good enough to get me in, so let me in, God, because the truth is you send sin somewhere between 10 and 20 times a day on the inside of you, all thoughts, all feelings, all words, all actions. And if you do that over an 80-year period, you send at least 292,000 times in an 80-year period. So it's like you're not getting your way in by good works. You're getting in by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is by the Spirit of grace that you're saved, and it's by the Spirit of prayer that you have communion with God. You see, you need the grace in order to be able to engage with God, and then the Spirit of prayer puts you in a position to be able to commune with God. Here's something you might not have caught, though. When it says, I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the remnants of Jerusalem, and they will look at me. You know what happens is when God pours out his grace into your life, and when God pours out the spirit of prayer into life, you know what you do? You look at Jesus. That's what's cool. You see, it's God pouring out his Holy Spirit in you, moving you in the right direction, giving upon you or pouring upon you his grace, which enables you to engage with God, giving you a spirit of prayer, which helps you commune with God, and that points you to Jesus. Jesus, who was pierced for us. I do think people miss this. It says they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly for him as one who weeps for a firstborn. Keep in mind when John 3:16 comes around, I think a lot of people miss this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God sacrificed his son. If you're a parent, I want you just to imagine sacrificing your child. Just stop being Mr. Theology or Mrs. Theology or Miss Theology. And I don't care what they try to change in proper English. Here's what it is. God's sacrifice is like you sacrificing your child for the sake of the world to be redeemed to God. You'd be giving up your child. Do you get the level of love he's talking about? He took a piercing for us. That's the level of love that the Lord has towards us. He's willing to be pierced for us, as Jesus demonstrates. And the Father shows how much he loves us by saying, "This is my Son, whom I sacrifice so we can all fellowship together." That's how the spirit of grace and the spirit of prayer are poured out upon us because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, which leads us to look to Jesus, which teaches us that the level of love God has for us surpasses that of us sacrificing even our own child as God laid upon him the sins of the world just so we could fellowship with him. He didn't have to do it. He chose to. And Jesus didn't have to lay down his life by, it wasn't by force, it was by choice. Because he loves us. Every time you're wondering if God loves you, I want you to think of a parent that would sacrifice their baby to save the world. And recognize that God did that and more to tell you how much he loves you. That's pretty powerful. That's why the spirit of grace and the spirit of prayer abide upon us. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. You're in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
If I ever get my hands on that guy.
What if you were only able to talk when you were saying exactly what God wanted you to say?
I'm going to give him a great big hug.
That's kind of the situation the prophet Ezekiel found himself in about 2,600 years ago. God took away Ezekiel's ability to talk unless he was uttering a prophecy or praying. Maybe you don't want to lose the ability to talk completely. But it might be nice to never say anything you'll regret or anything that God doesn't want you to say. God does offer help with that. For example, His Holy Spirit helps followers of Christ know right from wrong in their heart, like knowing what they should and shouldn't say. And of course, there's the Bible, which can help everyone know right from wrong. If you'd like to know more about letting God guide your words and actions, visit this website, findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs. ThinkSam.com. That's ThinkSam.com. God bless.
And now, with today's Moment of Destiny, here's Pastor Paul Shepherd.
And I've come to let somebody know, don't listen to the devil when he tells you to walk away. Jesus loves you. He paid a wonderful price for you. And I don't care how many ups and downs you have. I don't care how many false starts you've had trying to get your life on track. In fact, if you've been trying to do it in the power of the flesh, God has simply been teaching you that you can't change your life. You can't get rid of your sins by your own power. You cannot clean up your act. You can't get your attitude pure. You can't get rid of uncleanness of heart, of unforgiveness. Forgiveness and bitterness and malice. You can't stop some of your foolishness until the power of God is introduced into your life.
Pastor Paul Shepherd is the senior pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Northern California. The program is heard daily on radio stations across America and anytime at PastorPaul.net.
If I ever get my hands on that guy.
What if you were only able to talk when you were saying exactly what God wanted you to say?
I'm going to give him a great big hug.
That's kind of the situation the prophet Ezekiel found himself in about 2,600 years ago. God took away Ezekiel's ability to talk, unless he was uttering a prophecy or praying. Maybe you don't want to lose the ability to talk completely, but it might be nice to never say anything you'll regret or anything that God doesn't want you to say. God does offer help with that. For example, His Holy Spirit helps followers of Christ know right from wrong in their heart, like knowing what they should and shouldn't say. And of course, there's the Bible, which can help everyone know right from wrong. If you'd like to know more about letting God guide your words and actions, visit this website, findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Don't forget about 1-800-YES-WORD and our Bible League International campaign. It is one that I am passionate about. I love. Okay, I confess it. I would love to surpass the 1,800 Bibles to get to 2,000 Bibles. I just would love it. So I'm going to talk about it. Just make sure you understand what's going on. Again, KPRZ.com. You can give, by the way, also on KPRZ.com, plus the events are taking place and the different tuitions and the crazy price mall and all the different things we have on there. Don't forget about the Pastor's Masters as well. An enormous amount of response to yesterday's Facebook post. Private messages all day long. That was kind of nice. Well, there was another post that I put up today. This was a... We'll do the sound in a second. This was a poem, believe it or not. I'm not really poetic. You know, I've written a couple of songs. One of them we do on the show, actually. And I've written a couple of poems, and, you know, like 4 or 5 of them out of like 15,000 tries. You know, that's not bad. But this was not a poem that's like one of the rhyming styles, not a rhythmic poem. This was just kind of like the thoughts that were kind of going off the top of my head. So we're going to talk about it. It's called There Is a Place. Before we do, we're going to play a cut from a old Christian rocker named Phil Keaggy doing a song called What a Day. Just the chorus. Let's go.
Oh, what a day.
man, I love that stuff. That's just the old stuff. I got all that stuff on my little disc that I play in my car. Although right now, unfortunately, I'm listening to Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology and R.C. Sproul's Systematic Theology. So I got that in my music. It's like one of the few times I'm not complaining about traffic at all because I'm way too busy listening. But here is the idea. There is a place. And so in Phil Keaggy's song, what a day that will be. And you know what day we're talking about. Now, you might eschatologically look at it as the rapture, the second coming. You might look at it as a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I don't, it's fine. There is a place that I look forward to that I suspect there is also a place that you look forward to. We get some descriptions of that place from Scripture itself, from the book of Revelation. You get a little bit of a glimpse. You don't get the full glimpse, obviously. And eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither is entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them. But the idea is to understand that we are looking forward to a place. And our hope is not to be sitting on clouds and playing a harp and reading magazines from the dentist's office. Okay? That is not the Christian hope. That's how a lot of people present it. Which is, you know, pathetic, but that is not the hope. This is the place that I look forward to. Ready? I'm going to give you some descriptions. Ready? There is no pain where we are going. There is no sorrow where we are going. There is no hurt where we are going. There is no confusion where we are going. There is no frustration where we are going. There is no poverty where we are going. There is no sickness where we are going. There is no separation where we are going. There is no anger where we are going. There is no fear where we are going. There is no weeping where we are going. There is no worry. And where we are going, there is no darkness. There is God. That is the place that we look forward to. No pain, no sorrow, no hurt, no confusion, no frustration, no poverty, no sickness, no separation, no anger, no fear, no weeping, no worry, no darkness. But there is God. When the psalmist wrote the great Psalm of 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." We're going to a place where that passage will be what we breathe. That's our hope. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 72-hour break. Then we're going to come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.